Our reading for Thursday, July 16th is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. For we are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We left off in our last reading at the end of chapter 4 with the statement by Paul, "For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." He had presented this contrast between the things that we experience in the flesh being temporary and the things that we look forward to, those things are eternal. And so we look not to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. Verse 1 of chapter 5, "For we know," so he continues that thought, "for we know that if the tent that is our earthly home, which is transient, it is temporary, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." So again, the same contrast between the things that are seen and being transient, the things that are unseen being eternal. We want the eternal. And so he says, if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, then we have that eternal one in the heavens. For in this tent, in this existence, in this physical body, we groan longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. We want to go home to be with Christ. That's what Paul expressed about himself, and it's what we should feel the same. I realize there's things that we might want to accomplish in this life. Maybe it's spreading the gospel. Maybe it's getting through to a loved one that we're trying to present the gospel to, trying to help them change their life. But when he's saying, you know, we groan to put on that heavenly dwelling, That's the greater purpose. That's the true goal of our lives. And when he adds this if statement, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked, well, he's just talking about the assurance of our salvation. As long as we've been walking in the light, if we've been diligent to confirm our calling and election, then we long to put on that heavenly dwelling, because we wouldn't be found naked. We would receive that eternal dwelling. Verse 4, "For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed. Okay, when we get clothed in that eternal place that is greater, better, it is more glorious, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life, that which is greater swallows up the lesser. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. God is trustworthy. He keeps His word. We can see that time and time and time again throughout the Scriptures. That has been proven that God is trustworthy, that God does not lie, and He has given His Spirit as a guarantee in this promise. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 11, Paul said, "If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." So this is a common theme in the New Testament. If you believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, that the Father did this work, then you have assurance of the same thing for us, that resurrection in the end, for us to go on to that eternal dwelling place. Based on that, verse 6, we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We have faith that is based on something that we can investigate, that which has brought us to Christ. You have the Old Testament, which is the tutor to bring us to Christ. You have the eyewitness accounts within the New Testament, which were still being completed at this time and delivered over to the saints. But you and I have the complete revelation now. And so we walk by faith that is built on what we know from Scripture and what has been proven about God, even though we can't physically touch it, physically see it. We walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. We'd rather put off this earthly tent and go home to the Lord, to that eternal dwelling place. Verse 9, whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. Make no mistake, when we get to heaven, it's still going to be our desire to please God, but we will worship Him, we will glorify Him, and we will dwell in His eternal glory. Verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. We'll have that judgment. But if we have been walking according to the light, if we've been doing the Lord's will, if we have truly made it our aim to please Him, then we will be found to be doing good things, and those evil things will have been forgiven and wiped away. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. Since we know these things, and we do respect the Lord, and we respect who He is and what He does, then we persuade others. We are convinced of this, and we want others to be convinced. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is also known to your conscience. What are they? They are ambassadors. They are delivering the word of God itself. Verse 12, he expands on this. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. They know Paul. They know the apostles. They know that they aren't doing this for earthly gain. They know that they're not doing this for notoriety. They are doing it because they are people of conscience serving the one true and living God. Verse 13, if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us. That is, it influences us. It's not literal control as in they have no choice, but they do make the choice because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Based on the things that they know by faith, then they live according to Christ. The love of Christ influences them, motivates them to be those ambassadors, to be Christians, to live according to righteousness, to walk according to the will of God. So verse 16, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. When he says no one according to the flesh, he's talking about a human point of view. He's talking about looking at it the way worldly wisdom would dictate. So he's saying we don't regard anyone according to that human wisdom. And even though we once regarded Christ according to that human wisdom, we regard him thus no longer. We've learned better. We've learned true faith. We've learned these spiritual concepts that have led us away from carnality, away from human wisdom, and led us toward godly wisdom and the truth of the gospel. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. So if we are in Christ, then we are according to this new way of life, a new creation, a newness of life. And so then the old passes away, the new has come. And all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. That is, as ambassadors, as apostles, as evangelists, as preachers, their job was to go out and proclaim that message of reconciliation, proclaim how they could others could take advantage of that reconciliation. So verse 20, he gives the conclusion, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal for us to repent and turn toward him, that he makes that appeal through them. And we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Let go of that carnality, let go of that human way of thinking, and embrace these spiritual concepts. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Before we close out today's reading, I just want to point out a couple of things to you. The first is we need to make sure we have the right frame of mind. We need to have the right way of thinking. Don't embrace that human way of thinking, that carnal way of thinking. Embrace something greater, something higher. Look through the lens of Scripture. Look at things with a spiritual mind, including what's really important. Is it this life that's really important to me? Or is it that eternal home in heaven that's truly important to me? Make a decision about what your motivation really is. The second is, look at how encouraging this message is. He's making some correction to their way of thinking, but look at the way he closes this out. Be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be no sin who knew no sin. Excuse me, to be sin who knew no sin. So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. How encouraging is that? That we are given every single day an opportunity to live for Christ. An opportunity to reciprocate the love that God has shown to us. That is a true blessing. Live for God today, tomorrow, every single day you have. Make the most of it. Live with that spiritual mindset. Thank you for listening today. We'll look at chapter 6 tomorrow. Please continue in prayer that God may be with all of us.